Amen. Good morning, church. You guys meet early. Man. You know, it's the grace of God that I was here on time. I set my alarm clock. It didn't go off. And the Spirit touched me and woke me up. I was like, thank you. I think this is the first time I'm preaching in the AM. Usually I'm saying good afternoon. So good morning. You know, it's funny. I walked in here and the first sister who saw me just kind of looked at me like, am I here at the right time? I'm like, you're at the right time. I'm early. But it is great to be here. This is a very encouraging region. I do want to thank. I've seen so many people wearing purple today. And I know you're wearing purple because you all are going for the Ravens. So I do want to. I'm from Baltimore, so I do want to thank you all for wearing purple. Thank you so much. That's right. Whether you know it or not, the Spirit put it upon your heart to wear purple. So don't fight against God. Don't fight against God. Amen. But I am a bit torn today. This mic keeps getting close to my face. There you go. I am a bit torn today because the Ravens play the Patriots. And we have a brother in Christ. Y'all, I'm speaking. Y'all don't get a chance to speak. Y'all just chill on out. You can speak to me afterwards. This is okay? All right. Z-Wax. But we do have a brother in Christ who plays for the Patriots. So my heart is torn. So I'm rooting for him and my team. So I'll be victorious one way or the other. But amen. But turn your Bibles over to Isaiah chapter 7. Now we're going to go ahead and jump to God's word. Bill took my whole lesson. My title was called Airy, Fairy, Fluffy Faith. So that's my first point. But I know it is great to, I think it's always encouraging to know that even as we come preach, as a whole Hampton Roads church in all four regions, that we're all in the same book of the Bible. So even as we come and we preach, we're all in context together. I think it's very encouraging. I believe you guys ended chapter 6 last week, if that's correct. I think. I have two lessons, so you let me know I'm wrong. I'll go get another lesson. I'm serious. Okay, there we go. But if you did 5, it's fine, too, because we're not doing every book. We'll be here for the next 3 years going through Isaiah. But, you know, we're going to pick up in Isaiah chapter 7 this week. One of the things that, as we're going through the book of Isaiah, and obviously we don't have the time, which I'm sure, one time we will go through the whole book in chapter to chapter, which is very inspiring. But one of the things that, as you read through the book of Isaiah, there are certain themes that kind of jump out at you. And one of the themes that, as you read through, is this whole theme of trust and rebellion. And if you read chapter 1, you see a people who rebelled against God. And it's kind of, as you read through the whole book of Isaiah, God is trying to get them back to get their trust in the right place instead of having their trust in the nations around them. You know, I just want to share a few passages as you go through Isaiah. A few passages, Isaiah 2:22. It says, stop trusting in mere humans who have but a breath in their nostrils. Why hold them in esteem? In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 17, I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my trust in him. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. And you get this theme all throughout the book, trust in God. But in Isaiah 20, verse 5, those who trusted in Cush and boasted in Egypt will be dismayed and put to shame. So you also see, when you don't trust in God, it doesn't go well. Isaiah 25, and verse 9, in that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Isaiah 26, verse 4, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. In Isaiah 30, verse 15, this is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says, and repentance and rest is your salvation, and quietness and trust is your strength. You get the picture here. And you go through and you just do a word search on trust, and go through Isaiah, and you get the gist, I need to trust in God. You know, as you read and you study out, you may see it through the nation, but I think there's a message here for us today as well. I think God is calling us, his people, to the same task. that we got to trust in God. There's so many things that we can tend to put our faith in and trust in, but God is always screaming out to us, put your trust in me and not all those things around you that will crumble and fall. And today, we're going to look at a king named Ahaz. And it's amazing, if you pick up in chapter 6, Isaiah is called. He's called, he's cleansed, and he's commissioned. And then once he's called to go preach a word to a people whose hearts have been hardened. And that's always a challenging task. I want to go preach to people who are ready to hear the word. But he's saying, you go preach. Their heart's already hard, but preach to them anyway. So he's called to go preach, and after he's given his commission to go, the first message he brings is to a king named Ahaz. And we'll see, here's a king whose heart has already been hardened. And God is trying to get his attention and say, trust in me and not trust in the things that you're about to put your trust in. We're going to go ahead and start with a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to jump in, and we're going to learn a few lessons on trust in the book of Isaiah. Let's pray. God in heaven, God, we pray, God, that our hope is always in you. Father, we know that there are so many things that are around us from day to day, from moment to moment, that want to steal our trust. And the truth is, as we sit here right now, many of us may be trusting in things that one day will be destroyed. Father, I pray, God, that we can rivet our trust on you, who is eternal. God, I pray, God, that when times are hard in our lives, that we put our trust in you and not lean on our own understanding. And I pray, God, that as we look into your word, let us be moved, God, to not be like Ahaz, but to be like your son who had complete trust in his father. God, thank you so much for your word, and I pray, God, that all of our hearts will be stirred today. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah's been commissioned. And here's his first message. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, and the king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem. But they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son Shear Yashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct at the upper pool on the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Don't lose heart because of those two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, and of the son of Remaliah, Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah, let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves, and make the son of Tabeel king of it. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says, it will not take place, it will not happen, for the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only risen. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people, and the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David. It is not enough to try the patience of humans. Will you not try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows nothing, when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. And the Lord will bring on you and your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. Let's stop right there. There's a few things that I want to pull out from this passage on trusting in God. And today's title is Shaken, Stirred, and Marching On. Shaken, stirred, and marching on. My first point here is shake, but don't break. You know, in his first passage, in the first verse, it kind of gives you a nutshell of what's going on. You got the kings of the north, but now they're trying to attack Ahaz, because what's going on is you have a king, this whole nation of Syria that's in the far north, and he's going to come and attack. And they're like, hey, this big king, they're going to come and attack. Let's go attack Judah. And since Ahaz doesn't want to align himself with us, we're going to attack Judah, take Ahaz off the throne, put our puppet king on the throne, and then we're going to have alliance with him. And now all together, maybe we can beat Assyria. So now all of a sudden, Ahaz hears this. And as he hears, they're coming, our own people, the Israelites, they're going to come and attack us. And how do they respond? What do they feel? In verse 2, now the house of David was told Aram has allied himself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. When they heard that pressure was coming, when they heard that they were about to be attacked, their first feeling was they begin to tremble. They begin to get shaken in their faith. They begin to have fear. You know, one of the things you learn about Ahaz is this is a very crucial point in his life. And the challenge he's facing is, am I going to trust in God that God will deliver me? Or am I going to trust in some outside way or trust in myself, because now all these people are coming against me? If you turn over to 2 Kings just for a minute, just give you a little background on King Ahaz here. In 2 Kings chapter 16, I'm in 1 Kings, that's not the right one. In 2 Kings chapter 16, down in verse 5, you're going to see how does he respond to this pressure? How does he respond to people about to attack him? How does he respond? In verse 5 it says, then Rezin, king of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem and besiege Ahaz. But they could not overpower him. At that time, Rezin, king of Aram, recovered Elath for Aram by driving out the people of Judah. Edomites then moved into Elath and have lived there to this day. Look what Ahaz does in verse 7. Ahaz sent messengers to say to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, I am your servant and vessel. Come up and save me, not God, but the one that they're all afraid of. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Aram and of the king of Israel who are attacking me. And Ahaz took the silver and gold found in the temple of the Lord and in the treasuries of the royal palace and sent it as a gift to the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria complied by attacking Damascus and capturing it. He deported its inhabitants to Kerr and put Rezin to death. So what does he do here? Does he call on God? Does he get on his knees and pray, it's my time to trust? No. He goes to the enemy. Goes in the Lord's temple. Take out the Lord's money. Gives it to the enemy. And the enemy comes and attacks the northern part of God's kingdom. And that's how he was in some way saved from that hour. You know, this is what, if you're studying Isaiah, this has been the problem since chapter 1. Since chapter 1, God's people have rebelled and decided, I will not trust in God. And I feel as well, we have a little bit of Ahaz in all of us. And I believe the call today is God saying, people, I am calling you to trust in me. And there are times where our backs against the wall, there's times where we get shaken, am I right? And we feel oppressed on every side. And you feel, man, there's things coming from the north and from the south. And it comes a crucial point in our lives where we're standing there and now the call is out. What are you going to do? And we start to feel shaken. And we kind of go back and forth like a tree in the wind. And we feel shaken. And God is saying, trust me. But he's also saying, hey, we're going to shake, but don't break. If you've been around long enough, you've seen many people shaken in their faith. Some of us have been shaken in our faith. We've also seen people shaken and break. And you think, what happened? You were fired up for God. You were excited for God. You were living, man, you were going after it. And all of a sudden, the wind came. You shook and you broke. And what happened, what came out is, now we knew where their trust really was. I think for us as well, those times come and we'll bend. And that's okay to bend. We'll bend a little bit. But I think one of the things is when we shake, we can't break. You know, we got to ask ourselves now, not later. You don't ask yourself in the midst of the trial. You don't ask yourself in the midst of the challenge. You ask yourself now, am I trusting in my God? You got to ask yourself now, where is my faith? Am I holding on to God now? So when those times come, we'll be ready. The truth is, whether you like it or not, whether you're married or single or a teen, your faith will be shaken. All of our faiths at some point in time, like Ahaz and the house of David here, it will be shaken. And I think right now, this time is like, what am I going to do? Am I going to lean on myself? Am I going to lean on my experience? And am I going to lean on my religious background? Am I going to lean on, well, this is our church? Or am I going to lean on my great and awesome God? You know, Ahaz, what he chose to do here is he chose to trust in what he could see. You know, sometimes when you ever been in a fight before and someone's fighting, you're like, hey, you're going to bully me? I'm going to get a bigger bully. And that's what he did. He said, you kings, you want to get me? I'm going to get the biggest bully. I'm going to align myself with Assyria. I'm going to trust in the big bully that I can see, because the big God that I can't see, I'm not sure if I can trust in him right now. I think that's our tendency at times. Let me trust in what my eyes can see. Let me trust in what my hands can do. And sometimes, I know sometimes, we don't always go to let us trust in our awesome God. You know, some of the questions we have to ask ourselves now is, what will you do when you start going through a financial crisis and your money gets low? Ask yourself now, will you trust in God? Or will you start trusting in the world and trying to make things happen, and next thing you know, you find yourself having less and less time to get with God's people because I got to take care of myself. But I think we got to ask ourselves now, because then you're not sure what's going to happen once you're shaken. What will you do when your kids start growing up and they don't start going on the path that you want them to go on? And you've prayed and you've put all this time in and devotionals, and all of a sudden they start to stray a little bit. Are we going to start getting shaken and start wondering, well, I don't know, and I got to start compromising? See, you got to deal with it right now, because right when it happens, then they need you to be strong as an oak and not being shaken. What will you do when your marriage or your relationships don't go the way you dreamed they would go? You know, when we start getting shaken and thinking, let me look for outside things to fulfill my pleasure, will we go to God and say, God, I need you to meet this need? And what will we do when our careers are put on hold? Are we going to put God on hold until we're all better? Is that true? Sometimes, you know. Well, I'm challenged now. Well, God, hold on. Let me get myself together, and then I'll come back to you. What will you do when your health begins to fade? Will your commitment with God begin to fade as well? I think all these things, I go back and I look, I'm like, man, I got to pray now that when I'm shaken that I don't break, but that I hold and I stand fast in my trust in God. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean out on your what? In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, where the scripture says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. You have never found any story in the Bible where someone has trusted in God and been put to shame. And I think we can hold on to God's truths and his promise and trust that no matter what goes on, if we get in an Ahaz moment and we feel shaken and we feel, well, they're going to attack me and I'm afraid and I don't know what to do, we know that we can hold to God's hand. That's a song, right? God's unchanging hand. I wish I could sing. I could break out right now, but I can't sing a lick. But we know that we can do that, and God will bless us. Amen? So the first point is, you know, we're going to shake, but let's make sure we don't break. The second is, we got to be stirred by God's word. This chapter, it really opened up my whole a new view of God as I view God. Because there are some things that happen here, and as we go through, hopefully you'll see them as well. But it says a lot about the great God that we serve. In verse 3, Ahaz is already shaken. His trust is beginning to be displaced. And then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son Shear Yashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Don't lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. Let me stop right there for a minute. See, God knew that Ahaz had been paralyzed by fear. God knew that Ahaz had been shaken in his trust. God already knew that. But I think one of the things that inspires me about God is that God took the initiative to go meet Ahaz. Ahaz didn't do that. God was like, I know you're shaken. I know your faith and your trust is a bit misplaced. But I'm going to send someone to you to stir up your heart, to help you to have trust. And who is he sending? He says Ahaz and his son. Thank you. What did I say? Ahaz? Isaiah, thank you. I appreciate that. See, because you're wearing purple. Spirit moves. I knew it was a purple thing this morning. Some people even painted their hair purple because they're a Ravens fan. Appreciate it. Isaiah, thank you. But God told Isaiah and his son to go out to this place. Go out to the end of the aqueduct. I want you to meet Ahaz. I want you to share a few things for him. And I'm not sure if you picked this up, but sadly, the reason why Ahaz is at the aqueduct, because he's out there checking the water supply. Because he's already made a decision, I'm not going to trust God. He's out there checking. If they come and the armies come and they besiege us and they siege us, what are we going to do here? Do we have enough water to live? He's like, I'm putting my trust in this fortress right here. I'm putting my trust in our ability to sustain ourselves. So he's out at this place because he's already given up trust, and God is sending Isaiah to meet him to build his trust. So God said, let me meet you at a place where your trust is shaken to build your trust. And it's a funny thing that God said, take you and your son. That's a weird thing, right? Why does he say take his son with him? And I think a few things here. One of the things that his son was supposed to be a sign to Ahaz that God was trustworthy. You know, his son's name, Shear Yashub, which I don't think any of us have children named Shear Yashub, do we? I challenge you, if you're pregnant, to name your next child Shear Yashub. Anyone want to take that challenge? Wife like, put your hand down. But you know, names, one of the things about his name, and we know this, it's the funniest thing, I love this about the Bible, is that Old Testament names, they meant something. You know, it's like, who was it? Tamar, she was giving birth to twins. And she's giving birth, she had two sons. Zerah was about to come out, and then all of a sudden, the other son reached in, shoved him to the side, and he came out, and they look at him and says, Perez, because you broke out. You know what I'm saying? What do you do with that? What is your name? Perez, I broke out. I pushed myself into the wound, and for the rest of his life, he's known as, you broke out. What'd you break out of? I got to explain this story again. My mother was giving birth, you know, but this guy, Shear Yashub, his name meant a remnant shall return. his name, Isaiah goes to meet Ahaz at this place where Ahaz's trust is broken. And God says, take your son Sheer Yashub, and you stand there. So you can imagine, you get this scene. They're at the end of the aqueduct, and Isaiah's there, and his son's there, and Ahaz is there, and Isaiah's about to speak, and probably, you know, Ahaz says, what's your son's name? Sheer Yashub. Oh, the remnant shall return. I bet this little boy's looking up, but God is speaking to Ahaz just by that little kid's presence. He's saying, hey, you know something? Here's my promise to you. God's remnant will return. Trust in me. Or it could have been a woe as well. Hey, if you go to war and die, only a remnant will return. Could have had a double meaning there. But he's like, hey, here's a promise. The little kid just sitting there. Hey, Dad, I don't even know why I'm here. God said, so, son, I named your remnant shall return. So just stand there and look cute. And he's looking at him. And that he's looking, it's like God is saying, I want to build your faith. I want to help you. Your trust is misplaced. I want to help you have trust. This little kid is speaking to you just by his name alone. But Ahaz probably saw the kid, and we know from the rest in 2 Kings, he still wasn't stirred in his heart. And then you read on here, and we need this sometimes. And he said to him, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid, don't lose heart. Be calm, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid, don't lose heart. When we're shaking in our faith, isn't that what we need to hear? Wait, just be careful. But how do you understand? Keep calm. But you know, I'm afraid because, don't be afraid. But you know, don't lose heart. And I believe God was like, look, I'm initiating, I'm bringing this here. Don't, because you know what happens when we get those visions? We make wrong decisions. And that's what Ahaz. He was, what do I do? Do I trust in God and his messenger? Do I trust in my own strength? And I'm going, I'm shaking. God, chill out. Just chill out. Calm down. God is here. And sometimes we need to hear those words, just simmer down. Sometimes we got to simmer down and just take a step back and think about, let me think about this before I make a wrong decision. And God is saying, look, and I think as you read through, and this is like God is going overboard here. And God comes to him and he says to him in verse, look in verse 7, and verse 6 all the way down, he says, look, these guys are only they're only a small stump. They're going to try it, but it won't happen. It will not take place. It will not happen. He's like, who are these people? They're only these little people. And he's trying to, let me help you with your trust. I'm letting you know it will not happen. I mean, come on. That's like God is like, he's a spy on the other side. I've seen everything that's going to happen because God is always in control. Amen. He says, I've seen it all, Ahaz. And guess what? It's not going to happen. Don't be afraid. It's okay. A lot of times what happens is because we don't know. Because we can't see what's going to happen, we get even more shaken by the unknown. And God says, I'm taking the unknown away from you. I'm making known. Stand firm. If you stand, if you stand firm, it'll be all good with you. But you know, Ahaz still wasn't stirred. God's word and through his son, through Isaiah coming to meet him, through the words, just calm down, through God giving him vision to the future and a sense to saying, hey, it will not happen. His heart still wasn't stirred. You know, there's something that I think we got to think about sometimes in our own lives is, are we still stirred by God's word and his promises? You know, we go through challenging times. Are you still stirred? Do you open the Bible? Do you read God's word? And do you come out more faithful and trusting? And you're like, I don't know, but God, whatever happens, I got you on my side. Does the word still stir you? Because sometimes we can just read through the Bible and not be stirred. And God is saying, Ahaz, be stirred enough to hear my word and change and trust. Romans 10, verse 17 says, consequently, faith comes from what? Hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. God wants to meet you at a place, at a meeting place, just like Ahaz, to stir your hearts. The question we have to ask ourselves is, are we willing to meet God at that place to have our hearts stirred? You know, we got to come to God saying, God, look, I'm coming. I don't know, but I'll give you everything. I want to live for you. I trust you. You know, we read all the time. We read through scriptures in the Bible. And we study it out, and we say, deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. You say, God, I give it all to you. I trust you. I don't know, but I trust. God's like, I'm already doing my part. Just meet me. You just meet me and be willing. And if you're willing, it's going to be all good. We got to come to that place and say, God, I will trust your every word. I will trust your every promise. I will trust anything you say. I will trust. You said I won't be tempted more than I can bear. I trust you and I won't give in. So we got to come to that meeting place and meet God and say, hey, I'm meeting you here to have my heart stirred. We got to come there willing to be totally obedient. It's one thing to say, I trust. It's nothing to say, I trust, but then I won't be shaken. Big difference. You know, God wants us to do. God wants us to trust. He wants to give us more. He wants to bless us more than we can ever imagine. Ever imagine. I want to bless you. I want to take care of you. But you got to trust me. You got to at least make a decision to trust me. I read this story about a young man named Zach. One day while my son Zach and I were in the country climbing around on some cliffs, I heard a voice from above me yell, hey, Dad, catch me. I turned around to see Zach joyfully jumping off the rock straight at me. He had jumped and then yelled, hey, Dad. I became an instant circus act catching him. We both fell to the ground for a moment. After I caught him, I could hardly talk. When I found my voice again, I gasped in exasperation, Zach, can you give me one good reason why you did that? He responded with remarkable calmness. Sure, because you're my dad. His whole assurance was based on he could trust his father. That's what God wants from us. I got you. Why? It's my dad. This is my father. How can I not trust you? And I think when we do that, we live free lives. Zach was joyful. Yay! Woo! Dad was like, whoa! Zach was 25 years old. No, I'm just kidding. That's why his dad was bothered. But I think that's the challenge that I think, you know, even as we get older, and we get more knowledge, we're like, well, you know, kids, they jump. They're a little folly. What was he thinking? But we get older, like, no, I can get hurt. If I get hurt, I can't work. And I don't know. I want to jump and trust, but you don't understand. I've tried that before. You know, so instead of having that joyful and we're smiling and we're happy, why? I just trust my father. Sometimes like Ahaz would be like, I don't know. Assyria's pretty big over there. I think I'll trust in him. You know, my point is God wants to meet us at a place of trust. You know, I think where is this place? You know where this place is? Sometimes that place is just having a quiet time. It's not like, oh, where's the place going to be? Is it going to be on the Indian River in here? Where is it going to be? Sometimes it's just getting up in the morning, sitting down and reading your Bible. And you're reading your Bible and says, God, I'm here. I see your words. I'm going to be stirred. Now let me do my part. And so I'm just getting up and spending time in your word. And we get up resolved and we walk away saying, I will trust you. Whatever happens today. I'm not even talking about next week. I need enough trust just for today. I need to trust and say, hey, I got to trust that whatever comes, whatever temptation comes, whatever happens in my household, how I may respond with my kids, with my boss, with my job, whether this person is open or not, I don't know. I got to trust. I need enough faith just today Tomorrow, worry about itself. It has enough troubles in her own. But I need now. And we need to meet God at that place. Amen. We got to come and meet at our aqueduct. That may be your living room. I don't know. Your closet. Your bathroom. I don't know what y'all do. You're outside. Your Starbucks. But you say, God, I'm going to meet you there consistently so I can hear your word and so I can be stirred. John 14:1 says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Let us be stirred by God's word. Amen. Lastly here, I'll wrap up. Okay, I'll bring it home. He said, bring it home. Are you saying sit down or keep going? What are you trying to say? But my last point here is God is marching on. Now, verse 10, again, you got to appreciate God here. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. That convicted me. He didn't give up yet. You see what I'm saying? Again, he went and spoke to Ahaz again. See, for me, I'd have probably given up already on Ahaz. Sometimes we give up on people too early. That's just a side note. But again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether the deepest depths or the highest heights. You know, after all God had done, Ahaz still had doubts. And again, the Lord comes to him, and you got to understand this because it doesn't happen a lot in the Bible. And he comes to him and he says, look, ask whatever you want. Now that's, he's like, I'm trying to build your trust. Whatever you want, ask it of me. He said, I know you're weak. I know you've been shaken. I know your trust in this place. I got that. Now I'm going to take another step. I'm going to do whatever you want to build your faith. You can go from anything, any sign in the universe, from the deepest depths to the highest heights, ask anything. Man, I would have jumped on that one. I'd have been like, Lord, anything? I want you to take me over to these kings and show me what you saw. You ask anything, right? He didn't say anything. I'm like, I want to believe, but I want to see what you saw. I want to see the future. I want to see where am I going to be in 10 years. I would have, and that's how we get some time, right? But God did ask. He asked him. And I was like, come on, really? Come on, let me know my retirement. Let me know how it's going to be. So I could just, if we knew the future and everything laid out, wouldn't life be so much easier? Maybe, depends on what's in your future, right? I'm not driving home today. I've seen the future. But God says to him, you don't find this in the Bible a lot. You got to hear, this is special. You don't find, God says, ask a sign. Ask. And what does Ahaz say? I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Now, here's the thing. I'm like, Ahaz, you're on your own, buddy. I'd be like, excuse me, Ahaz, I got a question. But, you know, we read this, and it sounds very pious. It sounds very, you see what I'm saying? We read it as like, that's right. That's the good answer. But you got to understand earlier, he already decided to stop trusting God. What this means, he has just given up. He just says, I am not going to trust. I am not going to listen. It was a cowardly excuse, just insulting God. And the reason why we know, as we read later, is Isaiah's response. You know, but and we'll look at this, but I think one of the things to help us understand, it's like Chris Hurst going through a challenging time. He's a UVA fan. He always went through challenging times. But you can imagine Chris going through a challenging time, and, you know, Bill comes in. He's trying to encourage him, like, come on, man, here's some scriptures. Here's the word of God. It's going to be okay. And he's thinking, like, all right, let me pray with you. Let me bring in some other people. And Chris says, hey, if God's willing, he walks away. Now, God willing sounds faithful. But it's not a faithful response. It sounds like biblical words. I'm not going to put God to the test. But that, yeah, let God do his will. What it's saying is that, yeah, I hear you think you're saying, God. But, amen, God willing, if it happens, it happens.
gives you an idea. That's where Ahaz is right now. His trust, God is going after him, meeting him, after one, after and after. And he's saying, whatever, whatever. I give up. You know, and you read on, and it's, but Ahaz says, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. Look what Isaiah says. Well, here and now, you house of David, is it not enough? Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Those aren't faithful words. Those aren't words of, oh, you're so faithful. It was like, man, you're weary. You, God is trying. Are you trying God's patience? He's trying, and he's trying, and now he's just, his patience is worn out. Because they've been trying to build your trust. And all of a sudden, there's a shift in wording. Did you catch it? It went from talking to Ahaz to now talking to the house of David. In one verse, hear now, you house of David. I've tried with you. Now I'm marching on. See, I don't want God to do that to me. I don't want God to, I've tried. I'm trying to build your trust. I've shown you things. I've shown you my glory. I've shown you so much. But now, your heart is so hard, I'm marching on. And that's what God says, look, I'm not listening to you now. It's almost like I'm talking to you, now I'm talking to the whole house now because you refuse to listen. And God gave him opportunity, and now it goes on, and he says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel. And we know who this is talking about. You know, God says, look, you're going to be an unfaithful king. It's not going to trust. I look forward to a king who will trust now. A king that will choose. You didn't choose right from wrong. There will come a king that will choose right from wrong. You didn't completely trust in me. There's a king that will trust in me that's coming. He'll be called Emmanuel. You had God right here with you. Then there'll be another king that says, God is with us. God, I was here with you, but you chose not to trust. But now I'll move on. The perfect king will come. The king born of a virgin. Jesus Christ. You know, just the last thoughts right here. God wants our trust and not our words. You know, as a church, we have religious jargon. How you doing, awesome? No, you're not. You're not awesome. You're not doing great. I'm doing good. You know, God is faithful. We can say those things. God says, I don't want your words. I want your trust. Ahaz, I hear your words. But I want your heart. I want you to trust me. I want you to jump and land in my arms and say, hey, carry me wherever you want me to go. You know, God wants us to give up everything. Just give it up. I say, I'm going to trust you. The question we got to wrestle with as we read this is, will we put our trust in God? It's real, okay? This is not something you hear and you walk. You got to decide, where's my trust going to be? Not later, now. Some of us may be studying the Bible. Where's your trust? A relationship, a family member, No, put it in God. Truth be told, some of us here right now, you can look at your neighbor, you have no idea that their faith has been shaken. They're shaking like a leaf. And we don't even know. But God says, don't put on a face. We're not here to look happy and look the part. Don't be like Ahaz, well, I'll say the right thing. Come on, God, it's like, come on, get open. Trust me. Trust me. See, the greatest challenge we have is to ask ourselves, what are we going to do with God's word today? Are we going to let it to stir our hearts to trust? Are we going to let it to move our hearts to a position of, God, I'm going to meet with you. I'm going to grow. And the great thing about God is he keeps coming. You're like, man, it's been challenging. Tomorrow, I'm going to sit down at the table, you know, open up my Bible. I'm going to start trusting you right now. That's what I love about God. Doesn't matter where you are. He says, come on, I'm here. Come on, come meet me, and we can start all over again. You know, I want to end with this story. A man who lived on Long Island was able one day to satisfy a lifelong ambition by purchasing for himself a very fine barometer. When the instrument arrived at his home, he was extremely disappointed to find that the indicating needle appeared to be stuck, pointing to the sector marked Hurricane. And for the sake of it, he lived in Virginia Beach. After shaking the barometer very vigorously, several times, its new owner sat down and wrote a scorching letter to the store from which he had purchased the instrument. The following morning, on the way to his office in New York, he mailed the letter. That evening, he returned to his Long Island home to find the barometer missing, but his house also. The barometer's needle had been right. There was a hurricane. You know, let God be our instrument of trust. God's signal is always right. You with me? It's always right. Let us look at God and say, God, if you want me to trust, I know you're always right. And I'm not going to go and walk away and upset and do my own thing, but I'm going to trust in where you're going to point my life. And I believe if we do that, man, we will have one of the greatest lives, the most fun, the most joyful. It will be a great blessing. God will do things in our lives and his church and our families that we could never ask or imagine. Let us shake, but not break. Let us be stirred by God's word. And never let it be said about God's people that God spoke and he spoke and God says, you're not listening. I'm marching on. To God be glory. Amen.